Just to tell you what we're going to be doing this evening, I'm going to speak for about, I hope not much more than about 20 minutes or so, thinking about the aims of the home groups. Why is it that we meet together in home groups week by week? Then we're going to have about 5 minutes of admin, just as a sort of breather. And then I'm going to be interviewing Michael Yu, who has written the notes that we're going to be using as we study Luke this term. And then we'll pray at the end together. And I hope that we'll be over by about 9:15 or so. So you can hold me to that. But first of all, what is the whole point of home groups? Well, I wonder if your experience of home groups is anything like this. This is the story of a man called Alex. He goes to a church, not St. Helens, but this was his experience of going to a home group. Alex felt rather uneasy. To him, the idea of going to a Christian gathering, other than in a church building, was as novel as it was unnerving. What was he to expect in this new group that he was about to join? The invitation had been friendly and enthusiastic, but he couldn't help wondering if there was some catch. Well, these and other questions filled his mind as he followed the directions to the Cooper's house. On arriving, he was welcomed by Liz, whose easygoing manner instantly made him feel at home. From the front of the small house came the buzz of animated conversation and the delicious smell of a meal that they were about to eat together. There was just enough room for everyone to sit down for supper around the Cooper's small dining room table, and the squash of people made sure that Alex got to know everyone quickly. Supper finished promptly, and they were soon sitting in comfortable chairs studying the Bible together. Alex found that looking at the Bible in more detail than was possible in a church service was exciting. He saw things in the passage that he'd never seen before, and he was personally challenged by it. Well, an hour or so later, they were praying for each other and for the needs of the wider church in a relevant and powerful way. Alex felt so much at home by the end of the evening, that he even helped with the washing up at the end. He left to go home, determined that he would be back next week. Well, I wonder if that's your experience of home groups. I wonder if your experience is very different indeed. There are some pieces of paper which you'll find on the table in front of you. What I'd like you to do is just to get into pairs or maybe threes and jot down some of the really good things that you've experienced in home groups and some of the really bad things. Okay? I hope the good list will be longer than the bad list. And then we'll share what we've put a little bit later. I don't think you've got paper over there. I'll bring you some. Pull of some of the good things that people have experienced in home groups. Who would like to be brave and stick up a paw and tell us some good things they've experienced in home groups? Yes, Peter. Sociable. All right. Yes. Somebody over there, yes? Food.
Very good.
Very interesting. It's very interesting joining a new church, seeing what are the two things that come first in the list at St. Helens Bishopsgate, this great centre of biblical learning. Okay, other things that come high up on the positive list. Yes. Praying for each other. Excellent. Yep. You can tell I'm not a school teacher by the way I write on the chart. Any other good things people have experienced in home groups? Studying God's word, yep. And getting to know people, yeah.
Meeting up
our
friendships.
Friendships outside the right. Okay. I'll just leave it at friendships, but I know what you mean. Yeah, that's very good, isn't it? You know, phoning up if somebody hasn't turned up. Yep. Yep, that's great. Ah, very impressive. Quality of the leadership. Take a bow, Olive and Ron. Oh, everybody takes it. Yes, excellent. Good, yes. You share it round. Yes, lovely. Yes, good. People putting effort into preparation for study. Great. Good. Okay, let's have some negative things then. What are some bad experiences of home groups? Superficiality. Is that in study or in friendship or...? Getting to know each other. Good, okay. Okay, that's an opposite experience of people finding it French, sorry. Finishing late. Right. I've got to finish at 9:15 today, haven't I? Late. Maybe that's the opposite of good leadership. Yes, right. Not enough prayer. Yep, Lynn. Lack of commitment, that was. You feel you're over the hill. That's why they sent a fit young thing like me to run it, you see. You feel isolated from the rest of the church family, is that the... Right, okay. Yes, okay. Failure to do background reading, so not enough preparation. I'm sure after Michael Yu's introduction to Luke, we're all going to be doing avidly our preparation beforehand. Repetition, right, of, what, within the group, or? Right. Great, well, those are some very helpful things. Is there anything else which is not very much on somebody's mind? Is somebody behind the pillar there? Good. Well, all those are very helpful for me to discover where you are and the sort of things that we might cover in the Guardian group, which is the group which is where the leaders meet together once a month. We may be able to try and solve some of those negative things. But it's good to see those positive things as well. I thought what I'd do is just give you some idea of what I think the aims of home groups should be. With that as a sort of background, because what I'm going to say now does cover some of those things. And I thought we'd start by turning to Acts chapter 2. It's quite hard to find, actually, a home group in the New Testament. But I think Acts chapter 2, verses 46 to 47, is about the closest we get to it. This is an account of the early Christians in Jerusalem. And it says in verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now, we don't know exactly what they were doing in those different gatherings, but I think it is quite interesting that they did meet in those two ways. First of all, they met in the temple courts, which was presumably quite a large gathering, with a number of Christians meeting together in the temple in Jerusalem. It may have been more of a social gathering. It may have been a gathering at which they had Christian teaching. And then secondly, they broke bread in their homes together. And we don't know if that's an early reference to the communion service. It might have been. We're not quite sure. But nevertheless, it certainly shows that the Christians were meeting together over some sort of meal in their homes. And if you'd like to just flick on to Romans chapter 16, you'll see another reference to meetings in people's homes. Romans chapter 16, verses 3 and 5, where Paul says, "Greet Priscilla and Aquila," verse 3, and then verse 5, "Greet also the church that meets in their house." Now, it seems from this that Priscilla and Aquila had a church meeting in their home. I think it's rather interesting that the home was the focus of church life in the early days of the church. Now, we don't quite know why this is, but it may well be that the comfortable atmosphere of a home is actually one of the best places for Christians to meet together. And it's certainly true that practicing hospitality has always been an expression of Christian love. I read just the other day this rather lovely first century account of a man called Clement. And he's writing about a house meeting he's been to in the first century. I'm not quite sure where this was. But anyway, he's at a local inn, and he hears that a man called Peter is coming to a man called Simon's house to hold a discussion there. Well, having located the house, Clement goes to it, and he's welcomed in, and before long he gets engaged in what he calls an extended discussion about Christianity. Now, that's not a Christian source, it's outside the Bible, but it's interesting that there we have a first century account of a Christian meeting going on in somebody's home, and a discussion about Christianity happening. So it certainly seems that the early church used the home as a focus of Christian interaction and teaching. And therefore, in using our homes as centres of fellowship and teaching, we're not doing anything new. But we are doing something essential. It's struck me very much, just arriving in this huge church, St. Helens, over the last 2 weeks, that it is impossible to gain some of the benefits of church life if you simply go to the big meeting on a Sunday. It's impossible, because you will never get to know people at depth and be able to study in a smaller group. And therefore, the small group is essential. And I don't think you'll gain the benefits of church life, and nor be able to exercise the responsibilities of church life, unless you are meeting in some form of small group. And therefore, if you come across people in the church services over the next few weeks who aren't part of the home group, or they're not an RML or something, do encourage them to get stuck in to some form of small group. Otherwise, they won't benefit from church life. Well, let's move on then to what I think the aims of home groups are. I've come up with six components that I think make up a home group. And the first component, you won't be surprised to hear, is Bible study. Now, I've put together a very complicated visual aid here. I'm going to describe home groups as a sort of arch, okay? And the keystone to the arch, you won't be surprised to hear, is Bible study. Now, it'll be no surprise to you that we ought to be doing Bible study in a home group. But it is easy for Bible study not to be very good, isn't it? I'm sure we've all experienced that in home groups. For Bible study, rather than becoming a hearing of God's word as we meet together, to just become a sort of sharing of ignorance. Yes, the leaders glanced at the passage, but nobody else really has done any sort of preparation. And so everybody comes to the study just sort of lobbing in their ideas that they've just had on the spur of the moment. Now, the problem with that is that everybody goes home confused, and God's voice is not clearly heard. I believe very strongly that home groups are an important part of the church's teaching ministry. And therefore, those of us who have responsibility for leading home groups, or for leading Bible studies week by week, must take this responsibility seriously. Now, we're very fortunate this term to have these wonderful notes on Luke's Gospel that Michael Yu has prepared. But I do hope we use those notes to the very fullest extent. There are going to be preparation sessions, which I gather Clive Main used to run, on Sundays here in the vestry from 4:30 to 5:30. And I would be very glad if every leader could turn up to those week by week, every person who's leading the Bible study for the coming week to turn up to that, so that we can just thrash some ideas out and think of ways in which we can actually all learn together from these studies. And of course, it's not just the leader, it's the rest of the group who have a responsibility for doing preparation. I see no reason why all of us shouldn't try to make it part of our regular devotional life to be studying the passage that we're going to be studying later on in the week in our home group, in our own personal Bible studies. And the reason why it's so important to do this is that if we really believe that the Bible is God's word, God speaking to us, then we need to be sure that when we meet together as a home group, we actually hear God's voice. If we don't do any preparation, we won't hear God's voice. So I'm saying that Bible study is the keystone of the arch. And what I mean by that is that everything else is held together by Bible study. So if that isn't there, if the keystone isn't there, then the whole arch is going to crumble. But if it is there, then other things fit into place. The first thing that fits into place is prayer. I'm sure you've discovered this in your own small groups, that prayer is at its best when we've heard God speaking to us. It's just like a conversation, really. If the conversation is just one way, then it's very difficult to build up any sort of relationship. But if it's a two-way conversation, you talking to me, and then me talking back to you, it's much more likely to build a relationship. Well, it's just the same in our relationship with Almighty God. If we hear him speak to us in our Bible studies, then it will be much more natural to speak back to him. I don't know about you, but I was always taught to pray in verses from the Bible study I've been doing. So I hear God speak to me, and I speak back to God. And it's not just hearing God speak, but it's also listening to the world as well, seeing the events that are going on around us, and making sure that we don't just pray for our own little circle, but that we pray wider, and for our missionaries and for the other needs of the church. I think it's important also that we don't spend too long in sharing prayer needs. I don't know if you've been in home groups where there's a terrifically long sharing of all the different needs of people in the group, and so much sharing that there's never any actual praying. Well, maybe you need to think about how you deal with that in your own group. But I think it would be wonderful if the home groups could see themselves as, if you like, the prayer powerhouse of the whole church. I think in a church like St. Helens, there are lots of people who come and go, aren't there? Particularly in the Read, Mark, Learn groups and the Discovering Christianity groups. But the positive side of this feeling of being sort of rather aged and having been around for ages is that you are the stable part of the church. Everybody else is, here today, gone tomorrow. But there are many people here who've been here for many years. And I think we should see that in a positive way and really give ourselves to prayer for all the different activities going on in the church. So it would be lovely if Discovering Christianity could be regularly prayed for in our home groups. If Read, Mark, Learn could be, the guest services, the Sunday services, week by week. So that, if you like, we are sort of like the heart which pumps the blood all around the rest of the body. We're there praying away so that other things happen within the church family. I'm always challenged by that verse, James chapter 4, verse 2. You don't have because you don't ask. Very easy in a big church for us just to forget to pray. It would be lovely if the home groups could be places where God is really sought for different things, if the home groups are shouldering the burden of prayer. So that's prayer, the second part of the arch. The third part is evangelism. And again, this should flow from the first keystone up there, the Bible study. Because, of course, if God is being truly encountered in his word, then we just can't escape his concern for those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ themselves. Now, I don't know what home groups have done to try to fulfill this aim. I think you have tried things in the past. But my experience is that home groups find it quite hard to do evangelistic things. I think it may be that we should have a brainstorm on this at some stage. But I find it a great challenge that in Acts chapter 2, as the church met together in the temple courts and in their homes, the Lord added to their number daily those being saved. I wonder if you notice that in Acts 2, verse 47. The Lord added daily to those being saved. It seems that as these Christians met together in their small house churches, they were so attractive, such attractive places of light and joy and life, that people were almost sort of attracted to them. Well, I think we need to think about how our home groups could be like that. How is it that we could actually be centers of evangelism rather than just learning and fellowship? Fourthly, missionary support. This is also part of us being the centre of the church family and the heart of it. And it also flows from that Keystone Bible study. I was very struck 2 Sundays ago by the sermons that we had from Dick and Justin. Well, if you remember, we were reminded of the Philippian church, who were very generous towards Paul's ministry. But we were also reminded of the Corinthian church, who were stingy towards supporting Paul. Now, I thought that was a terrific challenge to us, because home groups can either be Philippian or they can be Corinthian. They can be Philippian in the way that they look after their mission partners. They write to them. They send them things. They remember their birthday. They remember their children, whatever it might be. But they're generous and caring in the way that they look after their mission partners. But it's also all too easy to be Corinthian, isn't it? Just to forget to write, to forget to pray. Well, each home group has a mission partner, and I think we need to think, are we going to be Philippian in our support of them, or are we going to slip into Corinthianism? I thought it was a great challenge 2 Sundays ago to be very concerned about missionary work beyond just our narrow circle. And of course, if we're hearing God's word, then we will give generously, and not just in financial terms, but we'll give generously in our support of our mission partners. Fifthly, pastoral support. That, of course, is a more inward-looking thing, but it is a very, very important thing. We live in a society where people are becoming increasingly alienated from one another. We barely know the people who live just a few metres from us, do we, in our homes? The next-door neighbour, many of us just don't know them at all. Well, the Bible makes it clear that it is not good for us to be alone. And one of the ways that God cures our loneliness is by mutual support within the family of the church. Now, that's impossible in a large church service, and it's why home groups are so important. The home group may be the only place where a needy person is cared for. Now, it's not right that their problems should dominate the whole group, but it is the responsibility of the home group that the needy person is cared for. And therefore, that goes back to one of our things here, that people need to be known individually as friends outside the group. I think it's very much the responsibility of married people to entertain single people and make sure that everybody is included within the church family. And it means that all members of the home group have a responsibility for each other, not just leaving it all up to the leader, but everybody taking part in caring for one another. And so that leads me to the final foundation of the arch. And it's no surprise that the foundation are the meals, cups of coffee, the cakes, all the things which lubricate the home group. Hospitality is the foundation of the home group, in my opinion. And I think this needs to be of a high quality, so that people really look forward to coming to the home group, because they're going to get a good meal, and they're going to have good Bible study, and they're going to have genuine friendship. And if you're a single person, maybe just living in a bedsit, let me say from my experience, before I was married, there is nothing better than having a good meal cooked for you. I think some groups separate the host from the leader. Well, I think that's a good thing to do, because some people have gifts of hospitality, others have gifts of Bible teaching and leadership. Well, that's my sixfold vision for the home groups in this coming year. You probably say it's idealistic. Here's a young person coming in thinking he knows how to run the home groups. But I'm going to try and go for this year, and I hope that you'll join me in trying to follow it as well. Bible study is the keystone leading to prayer, evangelism, missionary support, pastoral care for one another, and the whole thing supported by genuine hospitality. Shall we just pray? Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this wonderful vision of the church meeting together in Acts chapter 2, both in the temple courts and in their homes. And we do pray, Lord, that you will help us to be like them. Pray, Lord, that graciously, as we study the Bible together and pray to you, we would not only support the activities of the church and of our mission partners, but also that you would add to our number those who are being saved. In Jesus' name, Amen.